Well, we meet today on the cusp of our Cafe Encounter Mission Week, don't we? And our Bible passage for this morning could hardly be more appropriate. I wonder if you've stopped to ask yourself, why? Why are we doing it all this week? I expect we'll have many answers to that question and all sorts of different motivations. Some of us really love running the cafe, meeting new people and enjoying working together with our church family. Some of us might see it as a way to get our church family to grow. Others might feel like we're doing something good for the community, putting on a friendly cafe, earning ourselves a good name. Perhaps we feel obliged to be involved, or we'll lose face with others in our church family. Maybe, if we're honest, we already feel a bit exhausted by the prospect of another such week. And although we'd never admit it, we actually can't wait for it to be over, so we can breathe a sigh of relief and carry on as normal again. Well, if you don't come regularly to St. Thomas's, you're very welcome here this morning, and we'd love you to join us for some of the events we're running over the course of this week at Cafe Encounter. And you'll find out more about these, as Andy was pointing out, on the leaflet everyone got as we came in. As we look at this well-known part of Luke 15 today, I'd like us to see what Jesus would have us answer to that question. Why are we doing Cafe Encounter this week? And we'll think about three main points. And if you like to follow along these things, they're listed on the back of the service sheet this morning. People are lost, people need to repent, and nothing brings greater joy to our Father than lost people returning to him. Well, please keep your Bible open, or open it up again if you've closed it, at Luke 15 from verse 11 on page 1049 of the Church Bibles, and we'll look at this together. If you've been here over the past couple of weeks, you'll have seen that this is the third story in a row in this chapter of Luke that Jesus tells about something being lost. Flick back with me, if you will, to verse 1 of the chapter, and we see that the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. The religious leaders aren't impressed with Jesus mixing with these characters, and their muttering prompts Jesus to tell these parables. And the point that Jesus is making in these stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son is that people are lost. Lost to their rightful owner, lost to their father, who is, of course, God. And sheep and coins can't be held responsible for being lost, can they? But it's a different story with people, which is where the lost son in our story today adds an extra dimension. So look with me from verse 11, if you will. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Fathers, imagine for a moment a child of yours coming up to you and saying, "Dad, I want your stuff, but I don't want to wait till you die. Give it to me now." Or, "I love your stuff, but I don't love you." It's not just a gross insult. It's effectively the end of their relationship. And he gets from his father what he asks for, his inheritance, straight away. Look on at verse 13. "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." We're familiar with this story, aren't we? Turning his back on his father, this son wants to get far away and live life his way. In the Hollywood version of this story, I'm sure this would be the moment for those extended wild party scenes, the bit that's made to appear most fun in the movie. But the reality is that the father's property is squandered on things that he would never have wanted for his son. Acts of rebellion against the father with his own money. the Son living as if the Father didn't exist, without a care for the Father or his desires, simply making his own way in the world. Cast your eyes forward to verse 24, where the Father describes his Son in this state as dead and lost. And Jesus is using this parable to describe the people who are gathered round him. Let's be clear about this during Cafe Encounter this week. He's describing our neighbours, our close friends, our family, if they're not followers of Jesus. He's describing us, if we're not followers of Jesus today. We live surrounded by those who are lost, even dead to Jesus. I think you, like me, probably find this hard to come to terms with, don't we? In fact, they don't seem all that different to us, do they? They're probably not sleeping around, living wildly, spending every penny. We can all recognize lost people like that. So how are our friends, neighbors, and relatives like this lost son? Well, let's think about it. Their lives do show it. Living as if the Father didn't exist, or if it didn't matter if he does exist, their every choice and decision made without considering him or what he would desire for them, happy to take his stuff, his good gifts and his property, and use it for their own enjoyment without reference to him. Actually, the prospect of having him involved in their lives would be a great inconvenience to their plans. They don't listen to him speaking in the Bible. They can make up their own minds about things, thanks very much. They rarely, if ever, would turn to talk to God, certainly not thanking him for all that he's done for them. There is no living, loving relationship with God in their lives. Now, doesn't that describe many of our close friends and colleagues? And please, let's not sit in judgment on them as if we were somehow better than them by nature. For that was me, that was you, before we became followers of Jesus. And sadly, the same attitudes are still too often seen in my life, and I'm sure in yours. And Jesus is clear that being lost to God isn't an unfortunate accident when it comes to people, like it might be for a sheep or a coin. It's actually a moral decision, choosing to turn to our own ways, ignoring God, but taking his stuff, instead of living with and for the Father who made us. Why are we doing Cafe Encounter this week? Because even our nicest non-Christian friends and relatives are people who are lost to our Heavenly Father, living in rebellion against him, and desperately need to be found. Well, with that in mind, what needs to happen for lost people to come back to the Father? People need to repent, which is the second point on our outline this morning. The word repent is an important Bible word, but it's not much one we use much in everyday language, is it? Let's turn back to the story to see what Jesus means. This son, who has turned his back on his father, falls on hard times, having spent everything and become needy, hungry, and doing the work of the lowest of the low. From verse 17, we read, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father." To repent means to change your mind, to turn around. And in the Bible, this means turning from rebellion against God and turning back to him. A complete change of direction. A U-turn, if you like. The younger son in Jesus' story does exactly that. He comes to his senses. He sees that his situation is far worse than being in his father's house, even as a lowly servant. To repent also means being honest. To admit that we were going our own way and that was wrong. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. The son recognizes that he didn't just make some poor life choices, but that he had done wrong against his father, against God. He knows that he doesn't deserve his father's kindness now. And he admits, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. This is what we need to pray will happen in the lives of lost people who encounter Jesus this coming week. It will be fantastic if we make new contacts and deepen old friendships. It's great if people meet our church family and want to be involved in it. It's wonderful if people hear Jesus and are struck by how special he is. But those things will ultimately be meaningless unless lost people repent. Lost people need to come to their senses and see that living life for ourselves, ignoring God, is a rejection of God and his goodness to us. Lost people need to admit wrong. To be honest enough to say to God, yes, I've not wanted you involved in my life or to live your way. I have sinned against you. I am not worthy to be called your son or daughter. Lost people need to act on this change of mind, returning to live in a relationship with God through Jesus, turning around to live for God, rather than continuing to live for themselves. This is what it means to repent. It's something that must have happened in our lives if we call ourselves Christians this morning. And that is something we can share with others too. Why are we doing Cafe Encounter this week? Because people need to repent. Jesus' story of the lost son shows us exactly what we need to explain to our lost friends, neighbours, colleagues and family, and what we need to pray will happen for lost people as a result of this week's cafe and events. Finally, what sort of response do lost, rebellious people get from the Almighty God of the universe when they come to their senses, admit their lostness and rebellion against him, and turn back to him in repentance? How does God treat lost people who've been living as if he didn't matter, as if he were dead? We might meet people this week who are too afraid to turn back to God, maybe thinking that they're somehow past a point of no return with God, or fearing the consequences if they turn back. The son in Jesus' story knew his father was kind and generous by nature, but look in verse 19. Even only he planned to ask, make me like one of your hired servants. So here is the great surprise for lost sinners then and now, and for muttering Pharisees, because the God of the Bible far exceeds anything that we can ask or imagine of him. Look at verse 20. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him, and kissed him. Jesus tells this set of parables so that we might get a glimpse of the kind of father that our Heavenly Father is. I'm sure we can all recall those knowing looks from our parents when we'd done something they'd told us not to, and they'd been proven right when we came a cropper later. Who hasn't heard those words, "I told you so"? Well, God our Father is like the father in this story who sees the once arrogant, hurtful son a long way off and feels only compassion, not smugness or vindication, nor a hint of bitterness, and charges out to embrace him wholeheartedly, even before that prepared apology of the son's heart could be uttered with his mouth. God our Father is like the father who won't even let words about being a servant in his household pass the son's lips in verse 21. It's completely missing there. This rebellious son is instantly returned to his full status as a son with great joy. And as the father says in verse 22, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate." It can't happen quickly enough, can it? "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So our final point as we ask ourselves the question, why are we doing Cafe Encounter this week, is that nothing brings greater joy to our Father than lost people returning to him. This is the kind of God that we are inviting people to turn back to this week. We're not trying to twist his arm to be nice to those who want to come back to him. Our Father sees lost people who need to repent in Kilnest and our local area, and as we bring people to events or as we speak to them about Jesus in the cafe, we can do so with confidence that God our Father is already on the lookout, longing for lost people to repent and return to him, ready to charge out and welcome them home. He is more than ready to celebrate and restore rebellious sons and daughters to a place in his eternal family, dying to bring them back into relationship with him. A relationship with our Heavenly Father is simply the greatest relationship in the world. Nowhere will anyone find such forgiveness, love, and acceptance. And if lost people returning to him is what brings greatest joy to the Father's heart, it must be the greatest privilege to be involved in seeking out the lost for him in the week ahead, for those of us who claim to love the Father. If we do truly love the Father, we will love what the Father himself loves and rejoice with him in what gives him greatest joy. So let's pray for our hearts to be full of great joy, like the Father's, as we work hard this week, pointing lost people back to our compassionate Father in repentance. What's more, this story of the lost son and his amazing father is actually echoed in every Christian's experience, isn't it? So let's not be afraid to share our personal stories of being lost and wonderfully found as we have turned back to him ourselves, and the joy of knowing his forgiveness and complete restoration. Let's pray that there would be cause for the greatest rejoicing in heaven this week over even one sinner who repents. Let's pray. Our compassionate Father, we are humbled and amazed by your willingness to welcome and forgive rebellious people like us, like those who live around us. We ask you sincerely that you will use our weak efforts this week to bring great rejoicing in heaven, even great rejoicing from you yourself. Please help those we encounter to understand their lostness, come to their senses and repent, turning back to you, to know you, to love you, and to experience the joy of becoming your children. And we ask this for your glory. Amen.